host of the 6 Points Reading Series. Thank you for joining the Poetry Center of Chicago this evening in the beautiful historic Chicago Cultural Center. The Poetry Center was established in 1973, and we're excited to be celebrating our 40th year of promoting poetry in Chicago through readings, workshops, and arts education. We do this primarily through two different programs. The first is the Hands-on Stanzas program, which puts working poets in Chicago public schools to teach poetry to students. The second is our reading series, which brings us to tonight. The 6 Points Reading Series is a monthly series we've developed to showcase some of the most innovative and talented contemporary poets. Tonight, we're very lucky to hear from Hannah Gamble and Kenyatta Rogers. After the readings, Hannah will be selling her book of poetry, and Kenyatta will be selling the journal that he is currently an associate editor for. Our first reader will be Kenyatta Rogers. He was the 2012-2013 Visiting Poet in English at Columbia College Chicago, where he also earned his MFA in Creative Writing Poetry. He's a Cave Canem Fellow and also a poet in residence for the Hands-on Stanzas program, which we enjoy. Thank you for that applause. Through the Poetry Center of Chicago. A Pushcart nominee and Best of the Net nominee, his work has been previously published in or is forthcoming from Jubilat, Vinyl, Court Green, Rhino Poetry, The Volta, among many others. He is an associate editor with Rhino Poetry, so please join me in welcoming Kenyatta Rogers.
Hello. Because of my lack of preparation, I didn't print out all the poems I had, so I have to read one from my phone. So we're going to start there. This is the most recent poem I've actually written, too. So it's a, what's the word when you do something for the first time? Virgin experience. The body of Christ. Oh, God, oh, why maybe you left your son or lived in the body of a man who wasn't a man, who wasn't a person who maybe like this couldn't pull it together or had it all together. Oh, Ra, oh, person of meters. Oh man, oh why, oh socks, the glitter of stardust, a king in the body of a man, in the body of a man who wasn't a man. Oh the body, oh the daily bread, oh body on a stage gliding backwards, the man to the mirror, or a man who turns into a panther on a deserted street. The ways a man is more than a man, but more like a zoot suit gangster leaning down to yell at Satan, never falling, never the fall. Oh dear. Oh no, oh that day in June, what was saved? Who was saved? You. Yes, you took back your son. Or maybe we. Yes, we never really shared, never really had anything. The radio, or a record, or this, not even this. We never saw him. We never really saw him. The street lit up when he touched it. I'm going to read a lot of new-ish stuff, and I'm going to read one older-ish thing. This is a poem I wrote a couple years ago, and I feel like I'm getting sick of it, so this might be one of the last times I read it unless I'm not in Chicago anymore. It's one of those type of things. I feel like whoever wrote Wonderwall, what was that group called? Oasis? Like, I heard that they completely hated that song for years and had to, like, regrow into it, so. Purple Music. I had a dream about Thelonious Monk, and in that dream I told him I missed him. I told him I miss him. I missed him. The beautiful ones you always lose. The gargoyle ate them all. All of them. He ate them. I threw anything I could find. Rocks, I threw rocks, I threw shoes, I threw lamps, I threw a table, brick and mortar and dirt and towels. I threw my mom, I threw my mom, I threw chairs, bubblegum, tables, light bulbs, lamps, trees, big blocks of wood, small pills of aspirin. I pulled up turnips and I threw turnips. Like Princess Toadstool, I threw turnips. Thoughts and pictures and metaphors. I jumped in the Atlantic and I picked up the Amistad and I threw the whole fucking Amistad and I threw bubblegum. Gabriel helped me throw Metatron, and then I threw Gabriel, I threw Gabriel, I threw purple. I took small tufts of clouds, and I threw clouds, and 33 and a thirds, and jewel cases, spit, hair, nails, caskets, crucifixes, chunks of cement, Abraham Lincoln's right eye, the bullet that shot Franz Ferdinand, Kennedy, Malcolm, Martin, Pac, Christopher, Mahatma, the one that started the revolution, which will be televised, along with the TV, I threw 1080p and 720, and standard definition, and mayors and hubcaps, projectors, posters, asbestos, the football lock combinations, and bubblegum. Did I say I threw bubblegum? It was 1989 and I threw bubblegum. I once threw a Bible through a plate glass window and it all the way to Tehran, and this guy caught it and pissed on it and he burned it and he ate it and he shit it out all in about 15 minutes. It goes through the system fast. I had that poem like published on like a muzzle thing, and this guy sent me like a Facebook message and he was like, "Why would you talk about God in those ways? You should write more like Robert Frost." And I just ignored him. And then he kept like just sending me messages. He's like, "How come you're not responding to me?" Because like, you're never mind. Okay. Anyone ever read Bluettes by Maggie Nelson? It's a great book, right? So sometimes I read stuff and I feel so like I just don't know how to write anymore, and so then I feel bad about my life, so I write poems after writers that I really like. So I can't be as confident as Maggie Nelson. One. I think I'm with a friend I haven't talked to in 10 years. We're walking on railroad tracks. My car rolled down a hill and we ended up in the snow. We never tried to reach the top of the hill, but we never asked each other if we died. Two. I keep broken zippers because I believe I can fix them. If I can't, someone can. I keep a recycling can even though I believe everything just ends up in the trash. Sometimes I call people randomly and they think I just want to fuck. Three. People always assume I'm lying, so I don't bother thinking of things to make up anymore. I don't argue. My vocabulary is too small. I don't care who wins. Besides, I know what it's like to wake up scared. Fortunately, I forget most of my dreams after 3 days. Four. I can't be as confident as Maggie Nelson. I wrote about purple for 2 years. I never discovered anything. Wave is like a glass ceiling. But I don't want to talk about her. She's better than me. Most people are. I say this all the time. Five. I think I'm with a friend, but I know I don't know this person. We're eating grilled cheese sandwiches at a cafe. We just were there. We never showed up. My friend I don't know offers me a bottle of water. I didn't see them buy anything. The seal is broken and it's still full. Six. I was fired from my job. They thought I was a child. I told my supervisor to tell me I was fired. She said she had to check. I was able to buy a slice of chicken pot pie. I couldn't find the gift card that she gave me. I only looked in the obvious places. This, I don't even know how I feel about this. So I wrote this in June. Wednesday. I'm more worried about you getting pregnant than me getting sick. Tested recently for me means 12 months ago, so yes, I'm fine. I'm curious why the number of black women in my life matters for you. If I cook anything long enough, it'll kill whatever could harm me. On the other side of a hill, you'll probably find another hill. Deep inside my stomach, you'll probably find bubblegum from 7 years ago. I'm not changing the subject. That's what I'm thinking about. It's the truth. Just like how I look through your phone. I trust when you're here. When I see you, then I believe you're sick. I really touch the prongs and plugging a light bright. There's a beer in the back of my fridge I bought for you that you never drank. Some of the stuff in my apartment has no story. It was just there when I showed up. At your place, I had to put the seat down. See how much I don't care? I'm surprised you couldn't tell I pulled out. I didn't know you thought I didn't like white women. I'd rather talk about the mountains they cut to build highways. Do you remember Big League Chew? Because I don't know, because I don't want to say, man, I'm going to even proofread. Because I want to, I can see you looking at me through the light. I forgot, it's Wednesday. I thought I was talking to somebody else. Reincarnation. You're a leper. You're a sloth stuck in a cactus. You're the kid who's picked last for basketball and becomes the sub. You're the sharp crayon nobody wants. You're a bad idea trying to be a bad action. You're the letter K in knife. You're a body being forced with another body. You're a bad wetness. You're a wet cotton ball. You've been de-pantsed in front of the entire platoon. You believe you need to know. You've never been lost. You're a bad administrative idea brought up at a meeting. You're a job created for the boss's son-in-law. You're a forgotten good memory. You're bad at being a brick. You're bad at being a fitted sheet. You're a twin fitted sheet for a queen bed. You're a mouse who wouldn't chew off its own foot. You're a man with a condom without a plan. You're the first or last piece of bread in a bag of Bimbo. You're a sickness that's been forgotten about. You're a new onesie that's been stained with bleach at a warehouse. You're a tomato from 1652. You're a machine gun made of glass. You're a spork. You're an ant who can't lift more than its body weight. You're a starling lost in murmuration. Entry. Under the sun that burns like a forgotten kettle, there's an eclipse. A sun, a blood moon. My mind is a broken snow fence. Before there was me, there was me. Before a red-breasted bird, there was me. In a cavern, yes, there was me. In a cavern, yes, I danced it away. Where do we find settlement? There is no settle. There is no mint unless it covers a coven. Like a spiral that forget how to curl, find me a body. Thread me into your heart like a piston. Under the covers, I still hide from the sun. Maybe I'm an owl who only eats cherries. My where begins with no and ends in ellipses. A boy to a man is saying, you need a politic or a religion or a doctor or a clue of a feeling. We're going to skip that one that I printed out twice. I used to play video games as a child. Remember Ninja Gaiden? Am I too old for that? You do, right? Yeah, you get it. Yeah. Ninja Gaiden. Some say I can walk on the tops of flowers and hide within the wind. I'm sewn together with coal and silk. I'm the parts of your hair you don't notice. When you sleep, I hide in your pillow. I eat the stars. I sleep and smoke. And when there's a part of you that's missing, I make you run besides a cloak. I should say it has more to do with ninjas than actually the video game. I wasn't really a big fan of it, nor Shinobi. Ninja Turtles is my thing. Okay, one more poem, then I'll read an excerpt from like an essay. I'm 30, and I'm not, let me say this before like we get into it. Total was a hip-hop group from the late 90s. They were more like an R&B group, just so we don't, we're like, what is he talking about? Okay. Trippin' was a movie. It was also a song by the hip-hop group Total, also from the late 90s. I'm 30 now, I once wasn't though. How often do you see red mailboxes? Notice I didn't say red mailboxes. I said see red mailboxes. And there's another color there, sea red mailboxes, which would make one think of the Red Sea. And sadly, the only thing that makes someone think of is the white guy with the black wife, not De Niro or Lucas. But I find it hard to think that there was white people in the Old Testament. There definitely wasn't a such thing as the Postal Service. But back to the original question, how often do you see red mailboxes? I live in a city now, and everyone has a metal, almost safety deposit box type of mailbox. So they're metallic. And I have a different mailman every day, so I can't even complain to him why I'm not getting my mail or letters. I should be. And every day isn't an overstatement. Last week, I didn't get lost going anywhere. Every place I had already been or had already been around. I turned on my GPS 2 days ago and found an address in my recently found to a mechanic shop that I don't remember going to. I had brakes put on, but that was from my usual mechanic. Makes me think, though, why can't brakes be like brakes on a car, be like brakes on a bike? I've never changed my bike brakes. Someone once called them mad dog brakes. When we were kids, see, back then you couldn't drive, so your bicycle was spoken of like it was a car. That was until someone drives. Then you want to push their car. Even if it's front-wheel drive, it still gets pushed. I need to see a dentist, but I haven't had health insurance in almost 6 years, and even if I did see one, some, I probably wouldn't go. Let me correct myself. I haven't had dental insurance in 6 years, but I haven't had health insurance either. I have had car insurance for the past 14 consecutively. It's never lapsed. A friend of mine when I was a teenager, maybe I might have been a bit older. I wasn't in my 30s. I definitely know I wasn't 30. A friend of mine when I was younger had a red car and hit a mailbox. But more like he brushed up against it going really fast. The pole stayed in the ground and some sort of way took off the door handle and dragged the handle down the length of the car. What he did was paint the car black after that. It was total. He had insurance, and they told him the car was total. He just decided to trick the car out. He didn't claim insurance. He had it but didn't use it. Total was popular then, too. Not the cereal. I don't think the cereal's ever been popular. I never liked them. The group, I mean, this time, not the cereal. Maybe that song, Trippin'. The movie was okay. And Kissing You. But that's all. Thank you for having me here. I'm going to read an excerpt from a longer piece. I'm only going to read three-ish. It's not even three full pages because they look like really, I don't even know what to call it, poem, essay. I have no clue. It's just something I wrote, and I kept writing, and it turns into this big thing. And I was like, now it's, I have something that I didn't really plan to do. I want to tell you so, so much, but I feel like I don't know how to talk to you anymore. And as always, Wyoming comes up. I dated a white girl once who wanted me to move to the Grand Tetons. And I mean white, like blonde, blue-eyed, horse farm hay type of white. And I must say it was the worst head I ever got in my life. And I knew stereotypes weren't true. And I think she had an abortion because she would always get all awkward when talking about children. And she pulled the old, I have a friend who had an abortion. And my mother had two. She told me about them. They were legal then. She said a person could only have two back in the early 80s, and I was number three. What a way to think about why you're writing. I'm writing because I was number three. And I don't want you to feel weird about any of this. By the way, I found your hair tie. But I don't want you to be weirded out. Trust me. I've done that before. I know what that's like. It's like this. Over here, there's something. And over there, there's something. And I had a feeling this girl wanted me to bouquets her up. But when she said, oh, you thought I was interested in you like that. No, I'm sorry. But she would invite me over at all times of the day and or night, and she'd be pretty and put on makeup, and she wore her sunglasses over her head at 1 a.m., and I met the neighbors, and she yelled outside for these two cats to stop fighting in an alley, and her accountant's friend did my taxes, and when she turned 30, she partied here and in Alabama and in the water, and they never asked what happened to the ocean. And Catherine Barnett's one hell of a writer. If you haven't read her poems, I suggest you ask yourself, what have you been doing with your life? And that's what it's like, asking yourself, what have I been doing with my life? If this makes you feel weird, I'm sorry, I don't intend to. But I do intend to beat around bushes and hedges before I go get to my point a lot of the time. I guess I get nervous. I guess there are ways in which I worry or find other things relevant to the main point. This is why I feel as though I can never go for a PhD. I feel as though things like this would happen. I'd start with needing to tell you something and end with kids wearing blue capes in the hallway. And I don't want you to leave. I don't want nothing to change between us. I'll still be the same person. I'd say this as I've always been, but that'd be a lie. No one is always the same person. Hopefully, anyways. Hopefully we change on purpose or because the events in our lives tell us to be leery of certain streets or certain bus stops or certain mailboxes or certain women or jobs, food or hair care products or cars or fabrics or weather. Because Doc Holliday thought the dry air would cure his tuberculosis, and he was a dentist. This is relevant when you kiss a smoker. It sticks to your hair, too, and the polyps in your lungs, so when having sex, it fucks with people's breathing. My father's a smoker. So sometimes think I was a smoker for 24 years. And for the first couple of years after moving out of my parents' house, I couldn't fuck anyone doggy style, and I'd lose my breath so fast and be so far from finishing, sometimes I just had to stop. stop, like completely finish. It was like conditioning for high school basketball. And there are ways in which I want to finish and other ways in which I wondered what the girl thought, but I couldn't help anyone. That's something you should know about me too. I can't help you. I can't help anyone. I hope that doesn't weird you out. There's something else though. I think, well, maybe later. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenyatta. Sex and bubblegum and ninjas. That is the takeaway. Just kidding. Thank you, Kenyatta. That was lovely. Our second reader tonight and our final reader is Hannah Gamble. Hannah Gamble is currently sending out her second book of poems, and if you haven't read her first book, it's marvelous, and it's also for sale after this reading. Her work has appeared in or is forthcoming from American Poetry Review, The Believer, Poetry Magazine, Court Green, and Rattle. She lives in Chicago, where she is an artist in residence at the Museum of Science and Industry, also an amazing museum if you haven't been. They have a hatchling cage. And has recently completed a screenplay about a Midwestern community college that offers an associate's degree in not getting raped. She is one of this year's Ruth Lilly Fellows, and please join me in welcoming Hannah Gamble.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for being here. That's me, the woman sitting in her house among many light excesses. This is winter. This is a heap of lacking and the mind's trash, becoming the need for many fabric protections in a way that quilts alone could never be. I climbed up on the bed to see you, and the light from the ceiling and the dresser lit your face like an apple orchard on the day a farmer's favorite horse rose from the dead. I will explain infidelity. When you are living in a different part of the country than is your lover, the one who is right there and wants you is the best one. When you are in the same state as your lover, sometimes that ends up illustrating how you cannot want the one who is right there and wants you. Whenever people are surprised that so-and-so has cheated on a very good-looking person with a much less good-looking person, I think, you don't know how cheating works. It's just like when people say, no one would rape a fatty like her. They don't know. When I wanted a vacation, the whole point was to go somewhere different, not better. And when I wanted to hurt one of the small animals on my father's property, I didn't look for the cutest animal. In fact, when I found an animal that no one else was paying attention to, I thought my prospective actions less heinous. I was only broadening a crack in an already cracked thing, like choosing the flattened candy bar to steal. A woman is on the phone. A woman is on the phone with her boyfriend who lives in another state. She sees a mouse is swimming in a large blue pot wherein she had cooked ropa vieja. The mouse is droopily spotted with orange grease. The man on the phone asks the woman what she will do about it. She says, "I'm going to put the lid back on the pot." The next morning, the woman finds that the mouse is still swimming. The woman is so proud of the mouse. "You are amazing," she says. She fishes it out of the water with a slotted spoon. She crosses the street and puts the mouse down on the grass at the edge of the park. The woman's boyfriend arrives on the megabus. His penis is too big, but somehow they're blessed and they make it work. They take a walk to the Mexican grocery store to buy plantain chips. The woman takes them through the park and tells the man that she let the mouse go. They find the mouse in the spot she left it, dead and frozen. She hadn't thought about the wet fur, of course. It was just because she was afraid of the mouse and grossed out by the grease. The woman feels the way she felt when she flattened a salamander in a door frame by opening the door to her friend's apartment. It feels like being sick, but then it stops. It feels like tears, but before you get there. The woman is generally kind, but due to fear and selfishness, often fails her better self. When I am a featured player in a comedy show, all of my characters will be based on her. Her and the woman I rented a room from in Houston who wouldn't let me pitch a tent in the backyard because she worried that a homeless man would stay there when I was gone during the day. You know how some poets talk in between poems? What do I have to say? I don't know. Just hi again, you know. Except your story about the guy who wrote to you on Facebook. I mean, do you just block the shit out of people now? Because I block, if someone even comments on a friend of a friend of a friend something in a way that I think is like nasty, and I don't want that coming for me anytime soon, I will block them so hard. I'm going crazy with the blocking. Half of this room is probably already blocked, and I didn't even know who you were. I was just did not like the look of your sweater, you know? Just kidding. I said that because I actually do like the look of your sweater. Okay, poem. A tiny spot. A tiny spot of blood on my shirt is not the subject of this poem. I felt sick, knowing I'd said what I didn't mean, but then I dreamed about having said exactly what I meant, and oh look, everything turned out fine. You are wrong if you think a girl making up her own language after something that she never wants to talk about happens to her is the subject of this poem. I receive emails all the time, and physical mail too, so don't tell me that my life isn't full of feeling cared about and feeling safe, or, alternatively, knowing that if, at this moment, a gray horse came tearing down Chicago's streets, I could stop that horse in her tracks and ask for a ride and be given it. And not even have to wear a coat because joy conducts heat, like the perfect thing that someone says when you're upset, though in other situations it would sound like an insult, but in that moment it's kind because the truth is a service and a vote of confidence that you can take it. You don't even have to clean yourself up very much for someone who knows you. Horse, when I saw you charging past the ice cream vendor, streaming sweat, eyes mostly white with panic and strength, anger and exhaustion, my mind recognized you and called out to you with my name. Edifying just to see. When his dick finally felt right again and he could pee without it burning, he went right back out into the special places where the women lived and were waiting. Some pulled their dresses down like they were ready to have his dick go between their tits like right now. And some of them seemed to want a beer first. The magic of women just trying to get something right. They've usually been taught that getting a man to come is the easiest thing, working a crude tool. A good thing to do, therefore, when everything else that day has proved to be too challenging. The man takes one woman to a hotel bathroom. The hotel is the nicest hotel in all of Houston. To get to the private bathroom, they have to walk through what was once a ballroom, all its gold and domes retained. The woman thinks it's edifying just to see this kind of place. The music playing in the private bathroom when the man hands her a stack of paper towels to wipe off her chest is more electronic and sexual than she might have expected, based on the traditional feel of the ballroom. The man feels it's best not to hold the woman's hand as they leave the hotel because he thinks that that could indicate a kind of tenderness that it's best not to offer. At a bakery nearby, they stop so she can eat a macaroon, and they get into a friendly argument about art that leaves them both feeling happy. Do a couple more. How is everyone? All right, good. Okay. I like to check in, but it seems good. I'm going on. All right. A mind that climbs the air. And finally, I ask that my bitterness be unparalleled by any alive on this earth, because I would like to have none of it. And as far as I understand, everyone alive on Earth has some. Isn't a bitter person just like one of those talking trees who hurls apples at nature guides who overlook them, but never says thank you when a squealing toddler points at its leaves? The Chinese regularly prepare dishes from the flesh of the bitter melon, and those who work in dim sum ballrooms try to steer Westerners away from this particular kind of adventure. But once I was the Westerner who wouldn't take heed. I said, thanks, but I'll take four. Moments later, I was the Westerner sending the cakes back to the kitchen. Some people can't resolve a cat's cool demeanor with its supple, spreadable body. They can't see that a relaxed body makes for a mind that is thoroughly its own dandelion. A mind that climbs the air towards the sky, pausing maybe to look at you, but not to make unproductive conversation, will soon be mine. Once this vertically small but horizontally medium-sized Asian woman has cracked every inch of my spine with her toes. Do you know how many massage brothels there are in Chicago? Like just regular places in nice neighborhoods where you can get services. Like table showers, do you know about these? It's a padded table, but it's in a shower. And I know just because I get regular massages at massage brothels, because they do that too, and it's very good. But they want you to like shower first, because they'll be touching you. But you walk into shower, and there's like a big table with like a detachable shower head where, you know, a man can lie and feel good eventually, I guess, or feel bad. I mean, I don't know. I've never done that. I wanted to make myself like the ravine so that all good things could flow into me. Because the ravine is lowly, it receives an abundance. This sounds wonderful to everyone who suffers from lacking, but consider too that a ravine keeps nothing out. In flows a peach with only one bite taken out of it, but in flows too the body of a stiff mouse half cooked under the heat of the stove it was toughening under. I have an easygoing way about me. I've been an inviting host, meaning to and not meaning to. Oops. He's already approaching with his tongue out and moving. Analyze the risks of becoming a ravine. Compare those with the risks of becoming a well with a well-bolted lid. Which I'd prefer depends largely on which kinds of animals were inside me when the lid went on and how likely they'd be to enjoy the water versus drown, freeze, or starve. The lesson is close yourself off at exactly the right time. On the day that you wake up under some yellow curtains with a smile on your face, lock the door. Live out your days untroubled like that. Thank you, guys.
And the takeaway is dead mice and table showers. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming tonight, and thank you to our readers, Kenyatta and Hannah. Our next reading is November 19th, featuring Cecilia Pinto and Christy Bowen. And all, as always, if you enjoy readings and programs like this, you can donate to the Poetry Center at poetrycenter.org. And there you can also sign up for our newsletter so you can learn more about these great readings and other events that we have coming up. And as always, if you have questions after the reading, you can talk to me or our lovely executive director, Beth Sampson, in the white right there. Yay. So thank you once more for coming. And books for sale. Thank you, guys.